Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, praise your name. I hope when you sing that song, that you mean it. All I need is you. Take everything, just give me Jesus. Amen? It's quite a statement to make. That's where God wants us to be. The Bible says He's a jealous God. Put anything before Him as an idol. Amen, amen. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 18. While we look not on the things which are seen. I need a little monitor, please. While we look not on things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Lord, we ask You right now to speak to us here tonight. Let Your will be done, I pray. Hallelujah. Lord, anoint Your servant. God, I want Your will in this house tonight. I thank You, Lord, for what we felt here tonight, God. And I just ask, Lord, that You just continue to speak to every heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. Saints of God, I want to encourage you to reach out to those that weren't here today. Amen. Encourage them. I want to speak to you tonight. Have you thought about eternity lately? Have you thought about eternity lately? Paul, writing here by the Spirit's direction, he defines the things that are seen. And he says that these things are transient. Merriam-Webster says transient means passing especially quickly into and out of existence. Passing through or by a place with only a brief stay. See, when you really stop and you think about it, everything that you can see, folks, is temporary. Think about that tonight. Everything that you can see is temporary. The beautiful flower that we love to see flowers. We can't wait to see them come up in the spring because, you know, that, hey, we know it's going to get warm. Amen. Those things last for a while and then they fall to the ground. The sun, the evening, the brightest of the day, still disappears over the horizon when evening time comes. It could be one of the most beautiful days out, but it's going to end. Amen? The strongest and the healthiest person in the world will die sooner or later. The transient nature of all that is seen is so well understood that we make our plans and we live our lives according to it, or what it, at least we think we do. None of us makes plans for 100 years into the future. Right? Because we assume that we won't be around then. We purchase our automobiles. We purchase our homes and everything else with an eye for how long it is likely to last and how long we are likely to have or need of these things. We live very close to two worlds. It is the physical. It is the spiritual. You see, we understand the physical much more than we do the spiritual. Amen? We can see the physical world, but the spiritual world is not seen by the human eye. In the physical world, we can taste and we can touch and we can hear and we can smell and we can see the five senses. And because of those five senses, we are constantly, folks, being stimulated by the physical world. We have a greater understanding about the physical world. We understand that there are laws in the physical world that control our lives. Gravity is a law that we operate by every day. If you let go of something, unless it is lighter than air, it is going to fall to the ground. What goes up must come down. And in the physical world, we are governed by these laws, and we can prove the laws of are true by simple test. If I touch a hot stove, my sensory perceptors tell my hand to pull back, because my brain understands that the laws of the physical say fire burns and it hurts to burn. You see, in the physical, we see beautiful sights that are breathtaking. The majestic snow-capped mountains and ranges. That's why I like snow in the snow-capped mountains. The sunset on the beach. The sunrise on a lake. The monumental skyscrapers of New York and Chicago and the Great Wall of China that thousands of miles long. See, there are momentous times in our lives when we have felt overwhelmed. And maybe you felt overwhelmed at a graduation. You saw your child that you raised from that little newborn to its graduation day. And it can be touching. Amen. Maybe it's a hospital bedside, or maybe at home for the holidays, or maybe when you held your child for the first time, or maybe when you realized that you were a grandparent. We respond to the physical. When it's rainy, we feel gloomy. When it's sunny, we feel happy. When we have to go to work, we feel sad. When we have to get up and go to the lake, we're glad. When it hurts, folks, we don't like it, even if it's good for us. But when it feels good, we like it, even if it's bad for us. We are creatures of the physical, are we not? To an extent, we are controlled by the physical world that we are a part of, because we respond to it with our senses, and we understand it more because our bodies are made to operate within the boundaries of the physical. But I've come to this pulpit to remind you that there is another world that is just as real as the physical. When you compare the hopelessness and the futility of having faith in the things that are seen, folks, with the other option, the things that are unseen, the things that Paul describes as eternal. We are speaking here not about anything and everything that can be seen. You see, that would be utterly ridiculous. Hatred is unseen. So is jealousy. So is prejudice. And no, folks, what the apostle is referring to here is spiritual things, the things of God. These are things that are no external, folks, or that are eternal. These are the things which last forever. And all of the spiritual things, the greatest by far is the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiver and salvation that He brings to all who will have it. And to all who by faith in Him will make it their own. You may not see the world right now. You may not see the eternal world right now. But you will. You may not hear it, but you will. You may not have ever felt it, but you will. Just as real as the physical world, there is a spiritual world that is busy and thriving and moving all around you. But these two worlds are as different as night and day. Amen. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, Matthew 6:19-20, lay not up your treasures, yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, Jesus separates these two worlds into two categories. The physical is where things will rust and can be stolen and can fade away. But the spiritual, folks, is where things never grow old and can't be taken away and never ever fade. You see, Jesus, He was trying to give us a glimpse of the spiritual world by relating it to the things that we understand. Jesus said, whatever you build in this world is not going to amount to anything. He said, it's going to fade away. But what you invest in the spiritual world is not going to, folks, it never fades away. It will live on and live on and live on. Jesus was trying to give us a peek into eternity. When we even speak the word eternity, folks, our minds think of time. But eternity is not an amount of time. Time does not exist in eternity. Eternity is without beginning. Eternity is without end. You see, it exists. It existed before you got here, and it will go on after you are gone. Eternity, think about it. It blows our mind to think about it, doesn't it? It is forever. It is immeasurable. My father used to tell a story. He says, imagine a steel ball the size of the earth. And every 1,000 years, a dove would fly by. And its wing would brush that earth. When that ball is gone, eternity has just begun. Think about that. It is forever. It is immeasurable. And it is in eternity, folks, where the spiritual world exists. Amen? It is not regulated by time. Webster's Dictionary says of eternity, the endlessest time after a person dies. So according to Webster, your eternity begins when your physical world ends. Even this world, renowned dictionary admits that there is an eternity, folks, waiting on every person after this physical life is over. And Webster says it is an immeasurable amount of time. Time without end. Folks, there is such a thin wall. Hear me tonight. There is such a thin wall separating you from your eternity. And when it is all said and done, when you have done, what have you done? When it is all said and done, what have you done to prepare yourself for that world? What have you done? See, you don't have to ask twice about things that we enjoy. Some would say, yeah, I can't wait. I've already set aside the days for my vacation this year. We make plans for vacation, don't we? What have you done for eternity? I can't wait for the trip. This outing, and I can't wait for this getaway. What have you done for eternity? We give our time over to the gymnasium and the court and the field and the game and the lake and whatever we look forward to the most. What have you done for eternity? You don't have to ask anybody twice what they're doing to prepare for retirement. Well, I'm putting away in my IRA. I'm investing into my long-term life and policy. I'm playing the stock market. Or I'm holding on to my bonds. You don't have to ask anyone twice what they're doing in their career. One says, well, I'm getting a good education. I plan on getting my master's. Another might say, I'm working my way up the ladder. Or I'm going to stay until that position my boss promised. I'm looking for the perfect job, the one I enjoy that pays a lot of money. I'm willing to work day and night to see my family fed and my children taken care of. And they say, I'm investing my time in things that are going to pay off in the long run. I'm trying to buy land. There's money in real estate. When my kids are all grown up, I'm going to build that dream home. They attend seminars, they attend conferences, and they attend classes to learn about money markets and land transactions and bettering your business savvy. Their homes are filled with books and salesmanship and fortune. But have you thought about eternity lately? Because much more important than your physical world, folks, is your spiritual world. And Jesus said your money is going to melt and your land is going to be blown away and your pleasures will fade. But what about your soul? Have you thought about eternity lately? See, my job is to try to get somebody to realize, folks, there is more to it than what meets the eye. There's more than what you can see. There's more than what you can accomplish. There's more than what you can build. Amen. There's more than what you can save and store up. There's more than what you can buy. That's the temporal. That's the physical. It's going to all pass away, and it's all going to be over one of these days. But have you thought about eternity lately? You see, eternity will not pass away. It's not made of things that will fade. It's forever and ever and ever. You either spend it in heaven in the presence of God in the streets of gold, or you will spend it in hell, lake of fire that burneth with, and there's gnashing of teeth. It's forever and forever and forever. And what have you done to ensure that your eternity is secure? So what, folks? So what if you become CEO of the corporation? So what if you never have to work again after retirement? So what if you become top in your field? So what if you play one of the NFL sports or NBA sports? So what if you graduate from Harvard with honors? So what if you have every convenience there is to offer? Then what? Then what? You will have done well in the physical world, but what about eternity? Have you taken time for God? Have you surrendered to God? Have you submitted to His will in your life? Please hear this, pastor, tonight. Your spiritual condition is far more important than your physical condition. You see, if you're here in this room and you have not prepared for eternity, let's stand. You can take care of that before you walk out of this building. In Luke, Jesus told the parable about the eternity. He said in Luke 14, verse 16 through 24, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that they were bidden come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses." Hear me. This is what they did. He says, "Come to the supper." And they started to make excuses. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Think about that. He bought a piece of ground without even looking at it. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Bottom side on sea. Another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the lord said unto the servant, "Go into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." One by one they gave an excuse for not coming to the supper. One bought land and wanted to go and look at it. Another bought some oxen and wanted to go try them out. And the last one, he just got married. All physical things that are very important, but not more important than your eternity. And Jesus said that they would not be at his table. They missed the opportunity. Folks, you can do all kinds of things. You can make all kinds of excuses you want, but Jesus said, you better be preparing for eternity. Jesus went on to say in verse 26, Luke 14, 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now that sounds rough. But when you look at that, it says, "and hate not That word hate here means simply to love less. So let's read it here. If any man come unto me and not love less, you have to love your father less than you love God. You have to love your mother less than you love God. You have to love your wife less than you love God. You have to love your children and your brethren and your sisters, yeah, less than you do God. He has to be number one. He says, if not, you can't be my disciple. Jesus Christ must be number one. And I promise you, hear me tonight, if you put him there, number one in your life, you will never regret it. Come on. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus one night. He had a prestigious job, folks. It was a good life. He was respected in social circles. But he knew something, folks. He knew there was more than just a physical world. You see, he felt this pull from another world. And Jesus told him something. Jesus told him how to prepare himself for eternity. Here's what Jesus told him. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. What is he saying, Pastor? Well, he says, when you must be born again of the water, that means to be baptized. And when he told Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit, that means you must receive God's Spirit in you. So if you want to go, if you want to prepare yourself for eternity, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you need to be filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? This altar is open here tonight, folks. If you need to come up here and put things in perspective and say, God, I want you to be number one in my life. God, I want to love you more than I love my wife. I want to love you more than I love my husband. I want to love you, God. I want to love you more than I love my brother or my sister. I want to love you more than mom and dad. Come on. This altar is open here tonight, folks. If you'll put God first, you'll never regret it in your life. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, you can have the Holy Ghost. If you need to be baptized tonight, you can be baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, let God bless you tonight.